Hello, hello. How's everybody doing?
Good.
All right. If you're here tonight, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not here tonight, say amen. We normally get maybe one of those. And if you're not here and you say amen, we've got some thinking and praying to do. Anyway, it is good to be here. Midweek recharge. Meet together, pray together, and learn together. So it is very good to be here tonight. We have some out, but as we do every service, whether it's Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. But anyway, we just remember those who are not with us tonight who want to be. And had a great Mother's Day service, didn't we? And I know we enjoyed it, and so enjoyed preaching on Proverbs 31:10, and enjoyed honoring you mothers as well. What a blessing that was. So I'm pretty sure most of you seen the pictures on our Facebook page and our own personal page, and I got a lot of positive feedback from that, and just really, really good pictures. And so what a blessing that was. And I just want to thank Brother Randy again, and I know he don't like for me to always bring his name up, but thank Brother Randy and the audio-video men who sprung in action. And, of course, Brother Randy collected a good bit of steps. If he had a stepometer on his wrist, he would have collected a good bit of steps from Sunday morning going back and forth. But thank you, men over there in the crow's nest. We appreciate you. And but anyway, let's jump right into things tonight, and we will mention some folks and bring you up to speed on what's going on, and mention a couple things on our calendar, and then we'll open up the floor for you. Let's remember our children's home. We do have our young people downstairs tonight. Remember them. Remember the teachers. Remember staff. This coming up Sunday morning will be our graduation service, and so if you've seen our marquee outside, wonderful job from Jeff and Sharon. Thank you. And we are honoring Christian and Chrissy, but also little Charlie for graduating pre-K. The three C's, Christian, Chrissy, and Charlie. And so remember that. Miss Christy has already got a jump on the decoration, so appreciate her on that. And but do remember the children's home. Also, Miss Shirley is slowly getting better. We sure miss her here. So if you're watching, Miss Shirley, we miss you. We love you. You and Brother James, hope to have y'all back soon. And so, but do continue to remember them. Remember Brother Don, Sister Carla over in Peru. And, of course, the passing of Pastor Jose, a week or two ago, I believe it was. And steps forward in their Cobb Marker Church for a pastor. I know Brother Don's plate was already full, but much more now, and then just everything that goes along with that. So just such a sudden death, and just a bad situation. But just remember all of them over there in Peru. And so remember that. Miss Claudia Darby, Brother Harold Dolph, Leonard and Dolores Palmer. Let's remember them and their health situations. It was good seeing them Sunday morning. So if y'all are watching, we love y'all. Appreciate y'all. And we really do. I know they both have been through it. The Palmers have. But we're certainly praying for them. Love them. Miss Connie Norton, Randy and Diane Ely. Remember Miss Diane. I spoke with her Sunday morning. And sometime in June, early June, mid-June, she's having a back surgery. She's having, from what I hear, the same kind that Brother Snyder had. And same doctor too, same surgeon. So remember her on that. We'll announce that, get that out there when we know more information on that. The Dailies, the Ashworths, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, which are shut-ins, McCrickard shut-ins, Joyce Manning shut-in, James Tolan Brown, that's in the Marines. We still have him on here. We still call his name out in prayer. He's serving in the military. And then, of course, Kevin Brook, which Brother Kevin was with us on Sunday morning. Through with college for the summer, Champion Christian College. And so we'll just remember that. And Miss BJ, your birthday was Monday?
Yes.
Yesterday, Tuesday. Well, happy birthday to you, and we love you. Also, today is Chuck Prestridge's birthday. Today is Chuck Prestridge. And so, Chuck, CC, hey, happy birthday. And I'm looking for a phone that we used to preach into for 4 years. And so now I'm looking around like I'm Stevie Wonder or something. But anyway, we know that all them tune in. But happy birthday, Brother Chuck. Love you. Appreciate you, Miss CC. All right. And so I tell you what, let's go ahead and open up the floor. That's pretty much the announcements we got right now. Prayer requests, but announcements as far as graduation Sunday morning. That's pretty much all we have for this time. So we'll open up the floor if someone has a request or something.
I got to witness to some Mormons a couple of days ago.
You did?
Yeah.
All right. How'd it go?
It didn't go too well.
What'd you do, son?
I got in an argument about the Bible versus the Bible and Joseph Smith.
Yeah. We're going to get back into a study again. We did it about a year ago, different cults, and so we're going to get back into that once again because, you know, that's one thing that's easily done. It can easily happen is get into an argument. I got into plenty of them with Jehovah Witnesses since when I got saved till about, I don't know, a few years ago. I just stopped arguing and just, you know, learned how to refute what they say. Easy to do, easy to do. Another time, I have plenty of occasions with them. But anyway, we'll get back into that. We need to do that just to sharpen our swords a little bit, know how to approach them, just revisit them. And so, I don't know, many people, I call them a cult because, you know, their beliefs are so contrary to the Word of God, and that's what they are. And so, anyway, appreciate you sharing that. All right. Anybody else? See you long. Yes. Let's remember Catherine's sister. She has been through it and still going through it. Heart conditions and all, just covered up with medical things. So please remember her and please remember Miss Catherine as she takes care of her. Anybody else? Well, I'll just mention this while we're mentioning things. I had a root canal on Monday, and yeah, and so, but believe it or not, it went okay until he touched one of those nerve endings that wasn't numb yet, and then I about jumped off the seat or the table, whatever it was I was laying on, the chair, and he injected me right in the center of that tooth. And so hurt just a little bit. But then once he numbed that, I mean, you could have knocked me out. I wouldn't have felt nothing. My jaw was so numb. But did a great job. It's great now. So pain's over with. And praise the Lord for that. And, yeah, thank you for calling me and checking on me, Hassan. I appreciate that. That was sweet. I really do. All right. So anybody else? Okay. Well. All right, if that's all we have, then let's all meet for a time of prayer together, silent prayer. You can stay where you're at. You can meet us in the altar however you please. And then Brother Jeff have a song for us. And we're going to jump into a study tonight of a lesson. And it's just one word, and it's a question. It's a one question. It's a one-word question. And so we'll present that here in just a few moments.
many of you, this song's back from the late 60s, early to mid 70s. It's called Pass It On. A lot of people know it as It Only Takes a Spark to Get a Fire Going. Does that sound familiar to anybody? You weren't in, probably weren't even here yet. I know you weren't. Okay, well, we're going to go through the first verse, and every verse after that sounds the same. There's no separate chorus. There's a little thing like a chorus, but it's part of the verse. And then, so we'll get through the first part of it. Sharon knows it. And after that, you'll have the tune down. All righty.
Appreciate that, Brother Jeff, and I wish I could play the guitar.
I used to play the guitar.
The girls bought me a guitar, I don't know, several Christmases ago, and I learned how to play one song, but I don't even remember what that one song was, or is. I hadn't played it in years, but... Anyway, appreciate that, Brother Jeff. I don't think I've ever heard that one. Is that in the hymn book?
That's what I call a Christian campfire song.
Okay, a Christian campfire song.
That's what you're saying in youth camps.
Okay, I got you.
Almost
like a VBS feel.
In the 70s.
In the 70s. In the 70s. Well, I seen Lord in it, and I didn't know. Like the words to it, so true, so good, so refreshing. All right, Matthew chapter 27 this evening for a few moments, verse 46. Matthew 27, verse number 46. And for the past several Wednesday nights, we've been looking at different Bible doctrines. And of course, last Wednesday night, we talked about a glimpse of grace and mentioned several things about the topic of grace. And of course, Wednesday night before that, we looked at dealing with depravity, learned a little bit about our nature, the unredeemed part of us, the flesh. And of course, I believe the Wednesday night before that, we looked at working out our own salvation. Working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Before that, the other Wednesday night, we looked at sanctification. So we've been diving deep into some of these Bible doctrines, but tonight we're going to take a, I don't want to say break from that, but we're going to switch gears a little bit. And I want to read one verse, and that is Matthew 27, verse number 46. Notice, if you would, in Matthew 27, verse 46, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Very familiar verse. We won't go through this whole account of Jesus on the cross tonight, but I do want to call your attention to one word in this verse. It's the word "why." My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that's what I want to speak about tonight for a few moments. It's a one-word question, and that is why. The question, why. Have you ever had any unsolved dilemma in your life? You just could not understand why this happened. I know that I do. Why, at this current time, there are several questions, several loose ends I have. Why did this happen? If it didn't happen, then it could have been different. And over here, what about this? If this could have been a little different, this could have been a little different. Well, what happens if this don't happen? What happens if this does happen? You know, just a lot of questions I have, a lot of unanswered questions. There's many cold cases in law enforcement where the case goes unsolved. Y'all know me. I like watching unsolved mysteries. That's an oldie. Of course, they did a reboot of that on Netflix, and they're not coming out with episodes fast enough. Of course, if they come out, the more episodes they come out with, that means something bad has to happen. So I don't want nothing bad to happen. But we've got 2020, we've got Dateline NBC. Most of me and Christy, our date nights has to do with watching an episode of that. But there's many cold cases in law enforcement where the case goes unsolved. They have no suspect, no evidence, yet the family mourns the loss of their loved one. While they want to know two questions, who, and equally they want to know why. Who and why. And for many, many years, these cases grow cold and they never know who, they never know why. Sometimes they do find out the who, but they never find out the why. And sometimes there's been those cases where, and I guess we're talking about murder here, where the murderer will murder someone, and then they'll get arrested, and then they'll die and go to the grave with never explaining why. It doesn't matter the reason, but it's just some kind of, I don't want to say closure, because the case is never closed with the family. They're never getting their loved one back, but it does bring some kind of closure of knowing why. Why? Why did you do that? And many of us tonight here have questions. Praise the Lord, not murder. We're not concerned. Hopefully, we're not concerned about following up on a murder case, someone. But why, Lord? Why is this happening in my life, Lord? I've tried to do my very best. I've tried to deal with this thing, and it's just happening. Lord, why? So maybe someone here tonight has that question opposed in their heart. Why? Why? And so just for a few moments tonight, I want to look at this one verse and make some points and try to apply these points to our life. Just three things about why. Three things. The first thing is obvious, and it's what I want to mention. It is the person in verse number 46. The person that was asking the question. Listen. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" So the person who asked the question was Jesus. This was the God-man who asked this question. He was 100% God and 100% man. He was not subject to sin, meaning he could not sin. And yet this God-man, this all-knowing man, which knew everything, had all power, could be everywhere at one time, at least the God-man could. Jesus on earth, he was in one place at one time. But an all-knowing God would ask the question, why? Why? The perfect, sinless God-man asked why. No doubt he felt pain that day. And of course, leading up to the cross, he experienced much pain, being whipped with a cat of nine tails and the crown of thorns and all of those things. And now being upon the cross, of course, even before those things, he experienced emotional pain, being betrayed by a friend. And so it is this God-man who felt this pain, and on the cross he asked his Father, why? Why? He understood his mission, yet he still asked why. He understood his mission was to bleed, die, and rise again, securing redemption's plan. Yet there were times through this process where he felt the weight and the pressure of his mission. We know that when he was in Gethsemane, turn back to the left, if you would, to chapter 26. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, verse number 36, listen to this. Matthew 26, 36. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." He felt the weight of sin that he was getting ready to bear on the cross. He knew his time was coming, and so his soul was sorrowful. It was very heavy. Verse 39, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy wilt." He went a little farther. In the midst of his sorrowful soul he was feeling, knowing his mission was getting closer and closer to the day of his death, he still went a little further. Part of my word to you tonight, if you have great sorrow in your soul, if you're experiencing some kind of discouragement, some type of depression, something, you have some question running through your head, rolling around, there's no answer. You feel like maybe just relaxing your efforts a little bit spiritually. You may feel like retreating on man a little bit. My challenge to you is just go a little farther. Go a little farther. While Jesus was experiencing things, he went a little further for the Father. No doubt there's times in life where we have problems. There may be home problems, financial problems, relationship problems, and we've got responsibilities and things we're doing and things come up, and we just get this great sense of sorrow in our souls and hearts. We're heartbroken. You ever been heartbroken before? Yet life goes on. It's hard to be brokenhearted and go on with life. But we see here that Jesus, as a brokenhearted and heavy-hearted as he was, he went a little farther. But then the Bible says he fell on his face and he prayed. Always make prayer part of your life. You know that. When you go as far as you can go, fall on Jesus and engage with God in prayer. Oh, Brother Justin, prayer. You always talk about prayer. Guess what? I do talk about prayer all the time. Because I found a secret when it comes to prayer. And the secret is, Brother Ceylon, I know you have your own testimonies and everybody in here. The secret to prayer I found is when I run out of myself, there's answers to be found. There is courage to be found. If I would just empty myself, have this attitude of prayer, like, God, I've gone as far as I can go. I can't go no further, Lord. I give myself to you. I'm dependent upon you. And the times I've came to the Lord like that, I have always found help. Have you, Brother Ceylon? Jesus went a little further. He fell on his face. He didn't quit, but he prayed. And here's what he prayed. This is the God-man. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup of suffering, this cup of pain, no, he knew what his mission was. Yet he was so much man, he felt the weight of it. Let this cup pass from me. Wow, what about this next word? Nevertheless, God, if it's not your will from this cup of suffering to pass from me, not as my will be done, but thou will be done. It is hard to get to a place of, God, I'm not happy with everything in life right now, but nevertheless, I'm going to live for you. Have you been there before? That intersection of being sorrowful in spirit, being sorrowful and heavy-hearted, being overwhelmed by the things of this world, wanting to quit, maybe just wanting to retreat and let somebody else deal with it. But yet you know God doesn't want you to quit. You know God doesn't want you to give up. You know God has a purpose for you. And somewhere in this pain, there is a purpose. I guarantee you. Somewhere in your pain, there's a purpose. I guarantee you. You say, Brother Justin, well, I don't know about that because I made some decisions that I shouldn't have made, and there's no way that God got me where I'm at. No, he didn't get you to where you're at, but he knows how to work all things together for good. He knows how to take our bad decisions. He knows how to take our good decisions. And he knows how to work all things together for good, for our good and for his glory. And so, there is purpose for your pain. Don't you let the devil tell you tonight that you'll never see a day of victory in your life. Don't you let the devil tell you tonight there's no sense of trying. And don't let Satan tell you that you're the only one. The devil likes to isolate. And the devil knows me, and I know the devil very well. And we go head in head every single day. And if it ain't him messing with me, he can't be everywhere at the same time. He has one of his demonic dominions or demonic minions. He has one of his evil elves, so to speak, harassing, just like he does you, constantly, relentlessly. He wastes no arrows. He wastes no darts. He is constantly after us, but don't you let him or his helpers tell you that you can't have victory, and that you're the only one. Because chances are, you're not the only one. And so, there's an element of this where we just have to say, Lord, nevertheless, I'm gonna go a little further. Nevertheless, I'm not giving in. I'm not giving out. I'm not quitting. What did Job say? Though he slay me, I will trust him. Though he slay me. Think about Job tonight. Everything Job went through, he was a righteous man, an upright man. He presented sacrifices daily for his family. He hunted the animal, or he got it from his farm. He killed the animal, however it is that he did it particularly, and presented sacrifices. He was a working man. He was a father. He was a husband. He did all of these things, yet the devil was after him. And you see, the devil was going to and fro, up and down the face of the earth, looking for someone that would oppose him. And he didn't find nobody. But he couldn't get to Job because there was a hedge about him. There was a hedge of protection about him. You see, tonight the devil cannot get to you unless God permits him to. And the reason why God permitted, lowered the hedge on Job in his life is because God knew what kind of man Job was. God knew that he had a man that would oppose the devil. God knew although his skin would rot and he would have bulls on his skin, he would not do what his wife said and curse God and die. He would not do it. Could it be tonight that God is testing you and trying you to prove to old Slewfoot that he still has somebody that will serve him? I think he is tonight. And so tonight, no matter how sorrowful my soul may be, no matter how sorrowful your soul may be, just go a little further. And when you fall on your face, pray to God and let it be a nevertheless prayer. Lord, I want you to change my situation. I want you to change me. I want you to give me courage and all these things, Lord. But if it's your will to serve you this way, I'll do it. Amen. And so tonight, that's what I'm feeling. I'm just feeling like that we wrestle with this question, why? And, you know, doctors have said that when you try to figure something out and you're getting nowhere and you keep going at it and you have this anxiety, what it does is it strengthens your anxiety. So trying to figure out an answer to a question and you're not getting it is only strengthening your anxiety and your fears and concerns. You will get worse and worse if you keep asking why. You will get worse and worse if you keep saying, well, if something was different. There comes a point where you have to just square up with the Lord and say, Lord, you know all about it. God, you have started a work in me and you'll continue it to the day of Jesus Christ. If you want to change me and my circumstances, you can. But nevertheless, I want to serve you and die on the battlefield. I want to die on the battlefield. Because I tell you what, I'm not going back to Egypt, where God delivered me from. And you might be thinking, Brother Justin, what are you talking about? You're talking about quitting? No, I'm not talking about quitting. Every time I preach on stuff like this and teach about it, at least one person says, Brother Justin, don't quit. And I appreciate that. I love you too. But I'm not quitting nothing. I'm just trying to share and connect with your heart tonight. Those watching on Facebook, our internet. You know, am I the only person who ever wonders why? You know, we all. And so that leads me to my next thing. In just a moment, I'll get to that next thing. So there were times, let me get back to my main point. There were times where Jesus felt the weight and pressure of his mission. We've seen that in Gethsemane. But also we see that in the death of Lazarus. John 11 for a moment. Hold your place here. At least hold your place in Matthew 27. We may go back to that for just a moment. But I'll give it to you. John chapter number 11 for just a moment. John chapter number 11. We know that Lazarus was sick and he died. Now keep in mind, we're looking at the human side of Jesus. We're looking at his emotions. We're looking at his emotional pain, his physical pain. We know that Lazarus died. John 11 verse 32 is where I want to pick up. Lazarus died. And listen to verse 32, what Mary says. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then the shortest verse in the Bible, verse 35, Jesus wept. Jesus felt what she felt. Jesus, he felt. A lot of people have different ideas on why Jesus wept. I'm just going to give you a couple of them. Number one, I believe Jesus felt her hurt. He identified with that level of suffering. Later on, we're going to read Hebrews 4:15. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but is tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. We have someone who can be touched. He was touched. But also someone said maybe the lack of her faith is the reason why Jesus wept. There's all kinds of reasons you can look at. But Jesus did weep. He was emotional. He was touched. He was touched. So we see that there, that it just further explains the person who asked why tonight. It was an emotional person. It was a person who was experiencing physical pain, and it was the God-man, and yet he cried out, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? And so tonight we see the person. We're going to come back to Mary in just a moment. We see the person of why. But then I want us to look at the potential. The potential. The person, the potential. There's the potential. We all could ask why tonight. I'm not trying to get you to ask why. I'm not trying to get you to ask God why. But I do want to say a few things about this. There's the potential we could all ask God why, especially when we encounter situations that we don't understand nor does make sense. If Jesus asked why, we could get to a place where we might, in our emotional pain and physical pain, ask God why. Oh, but there's many who have said, you don't ever ask God why. Preacher, you don't ever ask God why. You certainly do not tell your church to ask God why. I'm not telling you to ask God why. But I am laying out explanation here where I believe the Bible supports our feelings when we don't understand that we can indeed ask God what's going on. Many have said you never ask God why. And I want to ask them and whoever else, why not ask God why? Do you think He can't handle the question? Think on this. Oh, bless God, you don't ever ask God why. You don't ever... Why not? Do you think He can't handle the question? The God I know can handle any question. The God I know knows my heart, and He knows the number of hairs on my head, and He bottles my tears. He can certainly understand and deal with His child in His situation, asking, why, Father, why? Do you think He can't handle the question? Do you think there's a problem He can't solve? Do you think God can't understand? Well, Hebrews 4:15, we have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like and as we are, yet without sin. We used to sing a song at Florida Road called I Know What It's Like. Scott Grantham used to sing that. I know what it's like to stand high on the mountain. And I know what it's like to be in the valley. But I know what it's like to have the sun shining on me. I know what it's like for Jesus walking with me. I know what it's like to be down and out. I know what it's like to be feeling like quitting. But I know what it's like when I whoop the devil. I know what it's like to have courage. I know what it's like. Jesus knows how we feel. He knows what it's like. And so we have a Father who understands. We may not like, listen, we may not like the answer or agree with the unchanging circumstances, but James tells us to ask for wisdom if we don't understand what's going on in our life. Turn to James 1 for a moment. James chapter number 1. Look at verse number 5. Excuse me.
Water went down the wrong pipe. All right, tested? Yeah. All right. You ever try to drink and swallow something before you swallow it?
Yeah.
You can't just pour it down. You got to swallow it. James chapter number 1, before I get to verse number 5, we know that the 12 tribes were scattered. Verse 1 says so. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. They were scattered tribes due to persecution. All right, I'll turn myself back over now.
They were scattered tribes due to persecution. And so he's talking to them and he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various trials, various dilemmas. Count it all joy. What? Verse 3, knowing this. This is why you can count it all joy. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Knowing this, this is why we can conclude that this situation may not be pleasant, but there is purpose for it. And that is, verse 3, knowing this, knowing that the scattering of the tribes, knowing that there's various trials, the tribes are scattered, James says, count it all joy, chalk it up, equals, God has a purpose. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, the exercising of your faith, the struggle you're encountering, I believe God one minute, I don't believe God the next minute. I believe God one minute, I don't believe Him the next minute. I'm believing and I'm doubting. I'm believing and I'm doubting. Knowing this, that the trying, the exercising of your faith worketh patience. God wants us to be patient. And so He allows us to encounter difficulty so that it might stretch our faith. So it might grow our faith. And by the way, faith that's not tried, is it really faith? Faith. In order for us to know the kind of faith that we have in the Lord Jesus, it has to be tried and tested. And so we begin to realize He is faithful and He is true to His promises. And our faith is stretched and our faith is become more mature faith. And now we have patience. Verse 4, let patience have a perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Not perfect, sinless perfection, but mature, complete. Here it is, content. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be mature and entire and lacking nothing. The Bible says, wanting nothing. In other words, get to a place of, I trust God. He does not fail His word. I am content whatever may come my way. Doesn't mean you won't feel the pain from it. You just know that there's purpose in it and it brings contentment. knowing that God ultimately is working all things together for good. That brings the contentment. The trying of your faith brings contentment. The stretching of your patience brings contentment. All of these things. And so that's what we see here. We see that James says, if you have any kind of question, if you don't understand what you're going through, ask of God. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, understanding, let them ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God will give us wisdom. God will show us what step to take. Now, he's not going to speak out and say, Justin, my son, I'm so glad we're talking. I wish he would. He speaks through his word. He speaks in circumstances, and he guides our steps by his word. But he will direct your step. He will guide your step. He will give us wisdom as we walk. Wisdom for the way. But it's all to be done through the avenue of faith and patience. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give it to all men liberally. He wants to give it to us. He wants to direct our paths. He wants to show us. And upbraideth not means to chide, or chide not, or taunt not. He's not going to ridicule or mock or put his arms up like this and say, mm-mm, you ought to know better. Mm-mm. You don't trust me? No, he ain't going to do that. He ain't going to do that. He wants to tell us. He wants to show us. He wants to explain. And so we see that there is a potential tonight for all of us asking why. All right? And so we see that there, that James says, if you lack wisdom, ask God why. Now listen, Paul wanted the thorn out of his flesh, and God said no. Let me ask you a question tonight. What do you do when God says no? What do I do when God doesn't answer a yes? What do we do? 2 Corinthians 12, please. 2 Corinthians 12. I know you're with me tonight. I don't even have to ask you. You're just such good listeners. 2 Corinthians 12. Verse number 7. Listen to this. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, or to beat on me, to pound on me. It means to blacken the eye. The messenger of Satan, Satan's evil elf, his messenger, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And so Paul says, I have this thing that is digging in me. It eats at me every day. And I've asked God, in the very next verse, he says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. I begged God three times to remove it, that it might depart from me. Have you ever been there where there was something bothering you and bugging you and like hindering your life? And you're like, God, why don't you do something about it? Stop it. Why do I have this? And at least on three separate occasions, Paul said, I besought the Lord, I went to him, I begged for thorn removal. And look at verse 9. After the third time, we have indication God spoke. Number one, don't give up praying. Don't give up praying. Don't give up praying. Stay praying until he gives you an answer. He'll either say no or yes. Or not right now. But, and he said unto me, here's what he said. He said no. He said, my grace is sufficient or enough for thee. For my strength is made perfect or complete in weakness. So here's what the Lord said to Paul. On that third occasion, he said unto me, my grace. We talked about a glimpse of grace last Wednesday night. My grace. The thing, my empowerment, my favor. The thing, my enablement. What I give you that you don't deserve, I just give it to you because of my own kindness. Paul says, God said he wasn't going to remove my thorn or change my situation, but he will give me enablement, enough enablement to continue to be an apostle. God may say no today in areas of our life, but he will enable us to complete his will during the process. If God has called, God will provide. And so he also says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Which tells me that before Paul had the thorn, he wasn't weak. When he got the thorn, he became weak. Now, Paul relied upon the Lord before the thorn, but not like while he has the thorn. You know, we really don't rely upon God until we absolutely have to, don't we? I mean, you're dedicated today. I know that. You're here. You read your Bible. You pray. You're conscious of God. You want to please Him. I know you rely on Him. I try to as well. But get that uncomfortable phone call. Don't get it. I hope you don't. But when that phone call does happen and you hear disturbing news, it has a way of propelling you at the feet of Jesus. God, I can't get through this. God, I can't handle this. You're going to have to handle this. I depended on God before that phone call, but I'll tell you what, that phone call really got me going in my prayer room, in my prayer chair. And so Paul says that God said, after I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, finally the Lord answered me. Or maybe it was Paul looking for a yes as to why he felt like God wasn't answering him. You know, God can be answering us at all times, but if we're concluded on what we want to hear, we may miss what he has to say. So evidently, there was some time during this process of prayer where Paul says, nevertheless. He says, Lord, I'm not looking for a yes. I'm not looking for a no, I'm looking for your will. And so God answered and says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength, Paul, is made complete during this time in your life. You don't like it, you disagree with it, I'm sure, but you are most strong and dependent upon me so I can use you mightily now being weak than when you are strong. When we look at struggle and when we look at heartache, what do? We faint. I know I do. In spirit, I'm just like, oh my word. You know, that's how I feel emotionally. I'm like, oh. You know, I'm like, hey. You know, I just like, man, I'm about to fall over and die. That's how I feel. But the truth of the matter is, when I'm in that position, I am positioned to tap into God's grace like never before. I'm at a place where God can use me when everything's falling apart. We don't like it. We don't ask for it. But just my question tonight, or my statement tonight, when things don't go the way you want them to go, ask God what's going on. Because he might be positioning you to use you in a mighty way during that time. Because whenever we're weak, whenever we don't understand, whenever we're perplexed and troubled, that's when we're our strongest in the Lord, when we're our weakest. And so there is the potential to ask God why. Now, turn back to Mary right quick, John 11. John 11, verse 32. Mary said, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. I've mentioned this earlier, but I've mentioned it in other sermons before, saying unto him, Lord, if. She says, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother had not died. If you would have been here. Lord, why weren't you there? Follow me, if you would, in verse number 15. John 11, verse 15. Words in red. Jesus' words. After the statement was made, then said Jesus unto them plainly, his disciples, where they were, Lazarus is dead, verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Wow. That's not a period there. It's a comma. Just wait on me. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. You got to remember who he's talking to here. He's talking to his disciples. But he said here, and talked to others, I'm sure, in the area, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Could it be that the Lord knew all about Lazarus being sick? Could it be that he understood the prayers and the feeling of Mary and Martha? He knew they were heartbroken. But could it be that God was working on something in the background? Could it be that he was creating a big miracle to the intent that some may believe? I think so. In our life, we experience all the hogwash there is in this world. And we don't like it. We feel like a lot of times we're mistreated and dealt differently. And we deserve more, maybe a sense of entitlement. And maybe that's wrong. Maybe there's some truth. And I don't know. But at the end of the day, could it be that God is creating a spot for something great to happen? Oh, hold on now, Brother Justin. You're sounding like one of them TV preachers now. Could it be that God's creating a miracle? Could it be? Well, according to Scripture, he does everything for a purpose and a reason. He works all things together for good. Here, he says, there has to be a reason why he said, I'm glad I wasn't there. I'm glad I wasn't there so you can see me raise him from the dead. God will perform a resurrection in your life. You may feel like you need a resurrection. And it was even Paul that said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. God has a way of erecting us and resurrecting us in hopeless and helpless situations that we may know who bailed us out, that no flesh may glory in his presence. And so that's what we see here in part. And no doubt Mary's faith was increased and all the rest, those disciples early on. And no doubt God got the glory for that. And you know, he came forth in grave clothes. Lazarus did, you know, and called him by name. You've heard that before. If he didn't say, Lazarus, come forth, just come forth, everybody in the tomb will come forth. He unwound the grave clothes. He released them. Let them go is what he said. He was released, and then he was at the supper table, and he was eating. I mean, he went from graveyard dead to chicken dinner tonight. God can bring us from graveyard dead, so to speak, to eating a happy chicken dinner tonight. It all boils down to this subject of faith. And God knows when we doubt. God still honors little faith. The faith of a side of a mustard seed is all it takes. The faith of a child. God knows. God knows when he sees our struggles. He sees our mixed faith. But he does honor that faith. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And so tonight there's the potential to experience situations in life that we don't understand and need clarity in. Listen to me. Please listen. There may be someone out there that's, I don't know, saying, well, Brother Justin told everybody just to question God. Question God, question God. Listen, what I'm saying is I'm presenting Bible truth to you and also saying
Don't irreverently or arrogantly ask God why, but if you don't understand something, go to Him for help, is what I'm saying. And if Jesus asks why, you know there's times where the thoughts arise in our hearts, God, what is going on? It may not be why, it may be what. It may not be what, it may be if. It may not be if, it may be when. And in my experience as a Christian, and what the Bible says, there are no, what I said the other Wednesday, stupid questions, dumb questions. I don't even like saying that in church. No, there's no ignorant questions. Teacher told me in school one time, ask me anything. There's no ignorant question. So we see that there. Ask for guidance. Ask for clarity. Do what James says. Ask God for wisdom. What's going on, Lord? I'm at the nevertheless spot. I'm ready to follow you, Lord. Give me the pathway, and it may be day by day, moment by moment. The person of why, the potential of why. Lastly, the purpose of why. The purpose of why. I read the verse a moment ago. I just quoted it, but I want to go back and read it just in case I said anything off. In Philippians 3, verse number 10, listen to this. Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. What's the purpose in all that? Well, what was the purpose in Jesus dying on the cross? There was a purpose for the pain Jesus experienced on the cross, the resurrection. Salvation's plan was completed when He got up out of the grave. And everything was important before He died on the cross, and everything was important after He died and rose again and ascended back to heaven when He did. Everything was important, but the purpose for the pain on the cross was the resurrection. He died so that He could rise again. And you know, in order to get a crop, a seed has to be planted. The seed has to germinate. The seed has to die, so to speak. That's what Paul was talking about in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the resurrection chapter, when he was talking about these bodies being resurrected. It's like a seed that will go to the earth and be planted, but then it will rise again. And so we see that here, that the resurrection was the purpose for the pain. He died so that He could rise again. Jesus was, listen to this, Jesus was thirsty. And what did they give Him to drink on the cross? A sponge of vinegar. I don't know about you. Has anybody ever tried the apple cider vinegar for the digestive? Oh, wow. When Christy was sick, like she had a cough for like 2 months. Every single day. I'm stretching that a little bit, but really it felt like that. Our chiropractor said, Dr. Jim said, give her some apple cider vinegar, a teaspoon, I think it was, and a little bit of raw honey. And he said that's a whole home remedy, and it'll run down through there, and it'll you know, clean you out and soothe your throat. She called the doctor on the phone. He said, don't do that. That's a lie. That's an old wives' tale. You see the difference, you know. Of course, the chiropractor has a more of a natural approach than the doctor does. And Dr. Jim used to be a medical doctor. But, you know, that did work for her. I mean, eventually it did. But vinegar, man. Terrible, you know. Apple cider vinegar is strong. Well, Jesus was, listen, here's my point. Jesus was on the cross. He was thirsty. I thirst is one of the sayings on the cross. I thirst. They said, I know what. They grabbed that spear, that sponge, soaked it in vinegar, put it up to his mouth, and he sopped. Can you imagine the burning in his mouth? The feeling, how it would probably, I'm sure, just light up his nervous system. He was already drenched in blood. And now, the vinegar in the mouth. I said that to say this. Let me go back to my verses quickly. Matthew 27. Hold your thought right quick. Matthew 27, listen to this, verse 48. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He died. And the last taste in his mouth was a bitter taste. He died with a bitter taste in his mouth. You may be experiencing some bitterness from your circumstance right now, but I just want to encourage you tonight that God had a plan for Jesus. You see, he died with a bitter taste, but he experienced the resurrection. He rose himself from the grave. Just because things may taste bitter now, that don't mean they're going to be bitter tomorrow. So you may be experiencing bitterness from your circumstances right now, but let me encourage you, God has a plan. God had a plan for Jesus. He has a plan for you. There will be a resurrection from your situation. You can't experience his power and his purposes coming to fruition in your life. Again, Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And so Paul wanted to apprehend the reason Jesus apprehended him. And so he was experiencing the thorns of life, the pains of life. And then he got to that place where God said no. And then he in turn said yes. That's your grace. That your power may be complete in me. And then lastly, I want to leave you with this. Talking about the purpose for the pain. I've preached this. I love preaching this. As long as God has me preaching on occasion, I'm going to preach on this because I love it. And that's in Exodus 15:23. We're not going to turn there. But this was the bittersweet experience. I love that. Moses leading the people of God out of Egypt. They were thirsty. Hadn't had water for 3 days at least, and came to a place, tried to drink it, they couldn't because the water was bitter. The people cried to Moses, Moses, what are we going to do? We should have left us in Egypt. We don't like you. Oh, my goodness. What are we going to do? Moses said, God, I've done all I can do. Lord, please. He cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cut that tree down, obviously, when he got that tree and he cast it to the waters, the bitter waters were made sweet. They were able to drink. The bitter experience is not the final experience when God's in the equation. He's doing something. He is up to something. He knows how to turn our bitter waters sweet. He knows how to give us resurrecting power. There's a purpose for the pain. We see the purpose. He died upon the cross, but then he rose again. It was a bitter experience, but there was a resurrection experience. So we've seen the purpose tonight of why. We've seen the potential of why. We all could ask why. And then there's the person of why, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, that's the lesson, and that is why. Father, we love you. We thank you. Even, Lord, during the times where we don't know why, we will trust you, Lord. And tonight, we're appealing to the emotions with the truth of Scripture, and that is, we are people who feel things. But Lord, we know you felt things too. So God, help us trust you in your Word. It may be rocky, it may be bumpy. We may experience feelings we never experienced before, but we know we're going to make it home safely one day to heaven with you. And God, we know that you're working all things together for good. There is purpose for our experiences down here. And so we rest tonight in that. Now be with us as we go our separate ways. Get us home safely. And Father, I pray that you'll prepare the services for Sunday, even right now, God. Prepare all of us to be a sanctuary that you can work in. Be with us Sunday morning and Sunday night. Our graduation service Sunday morning and our Sunday night service on Sunday night. We love you tonight. We thank you. Be with all these prayer requests. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.